Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. In today's episode, I'm introducing the concept, the idea, the super potent strategy of segment intending. Yet, let's jump into what the problem is at the base of so many marriages. There's a lack of intention. A lack of intentionality is, I would say, at the base of the vast majority of marital breakdown, of disconnection, and whether a marriage breaks down into divorce or into a quiet desperation of background stagnation. I want all of you men getting that. Like, divorce is not what your greatest fear is about. The greatest fear, actually, divorce is the lesser of two evils. The greatest evil for me is you stay together, but you stay together in this minimized, normalized background disconnect, stagnation with both of you. You know, maybe you had wounds in your in your childhood that just, you were black and white. I'm not going to divorce. I'm never going to separate. But you stay together out of loyalty, not felt, vibrant, revitalized, rejuvenated love and connection and deep intimacy. That's a tragedy. So a lack of intentionality is a major issue. It's like one of the major elephants in the room that you've got to look at. You really have got to look at. Let's sort of caricature two different phases in the lifespan of a relationship. Obviously, relationships here, we're talking about relationships that go from the early day dating to, you know, longer term marriage with the intention of staying together for life. Think about the dating scene. You know, when you were out in the dating scene and, hey, you met the beautiful woman that would become your wife, think about your level of intentionality. I mean, you're going out on date night. It's early days. You're there. You're setting this intention, whether consciously or not, but it's there bubbling away. I think most people have like a conscious intentionality to dress up well. You know, you get home from work, even if you're home from work a little bit late, like you'll jump in the shower, like you get yourself looking good, smelling good, feeling good in yourself. You know, you wanna look and feel and come across attractive. And your intention is to make an impression, to put your best foot forward type thing. There's a high level of intentionality. Like when you go out, you know, you really, again, it's not just like in the run up to the date. When you go on the date, I know my beautiful queen looks back and she says, "Mark, well, like it just was spectacular for her that I opened the door, that I, you know, took her jacket off and put it hanging in the appropriate place, at the coat hanger place in the restaurant, etc., etc." She was like, "That was just amazing." So we do all of this, you know, and like, here's the thing. You got the gal, you know, you got your beautiful queen. At some point, you went down on one knee, if you did it traditional style or whatever, you know, you proposed and the whole thing, marriage days, church bells, if that was part of your choice. And there again, the intention was to stay with each other for life. So clearly, you struck with quite the intentionality in the beginning. Now, fast forward, you know, 3 years later, 5 years later, some of you, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30, I don't know, some could be 40 years into marriage. You're all welcome to this party. It's never too late to reconnect and remember the spiritual masculine fire that's inside of you. And intentionality is a key part of that, of accessing that spiritual force inside of you. You know, when you fast forward and you get to present day, and like after the 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever that period of time is for you in your nervous system, what I'm seeing in one-on-one calls, in men's circles, what I'm seeing in the outside world. You know, I'm a social observer. I have always done that from a young age. I have a passionate curiosity about, you know, are people happier than not? Like, just at a glance, sort of like an energetic read. There's not much intentionality being demonstrated. You know, it's like you feel the lack of it. People can even be dressed up really nicely, but it's like there's not much chat happening between people. You know, the guy is not looking his loved one direct in the eyes most of the time. Man, social media, goddamn phones. I've been doing a lot of research to get experts in about social media addiction and the effects on parenting and on marriage. It's a fucking nightmare. Where intentionality, where your attention is going, is being directed by other forces, other people, for the economic advantage of other people, and your beautiful queen is there. So there's so much that hacks the intentionality out of it. And marriages are dying as a result. Dying by statistic divorce, but dying just out of lack of aliveness and vitality. And that is a killer. And if you don't feel that it's an absolute killer for you, the feminine core of your wife definitely feels the lack of your intentionality. This is a major, major problem. Whether your mind gets it or not, your wife definitely does. If your wife is listening into this, she's nodding her head going, yeah, yeah, fucking heroic. Like Prince fucking Charming on date night 1, 2, 3, 4. And by God, you know, and I thought it was going to last forever. And then this dude showed up. You know, then after 2 years, hey, like, you know, the old wounds come out from childhood. All of that shit happens. That comes out, and they wake up, you know, 5, 10 years later going like, where's that man? Where's that man that was so attentive, was so intentional, was so on top of his game, was so present? So intention. I speak within Heroic Husbands in the men's circles and one-on-one coaching. There's the diverse pillars of where marriage mastery are birthed from. The first pillar, and it's arguably one of the most important ones, it's like the pillar that like sets the tone for everything else, is stillness. Stillness is like a felt inner phenomenon where you get very still within yourself. There's two ways of accessing that. Number one, breath. Take a few deep breaths and you're going to feel a bit more still inside. Technically, it can be called heart coherence. There's many different ways, but it's like you're going to feel still. There's going to be a little bit more relaxation inside of you. You're a little bit more present. Breath is the first, and intention is the second. Presence, which is one of the qualities that holds the highest value for your queen with you, is when you're present. Presence, it can be defined many different ways, but in the context of this conversation, I'd like you to look at presence as, presence is when the intention matches what the space is asking of you as a king. When you're present with what the space requires of you. The space, it's another pillar, is spatial awareness. Is like when you enter into a space, if you are present, if you are embodying consciousness, you will be aware that you can be serving that space with a message with your heart completely open, and, you know, with love flowing through you into the space, or you're not aware of anything in the space and you're locked in your own body and your own mind. You know, the difference between one and the other is massive. Definitely if your beautiful queen is in the space and you're not aware of her and you're not setting any intentionality. So when your intention matches what the space is asking of you, that's a high level of presence. It's a major spiritual, sexual, emotional turn on for your queen. The vast majority of men are nowhere even close. The coffin spurt the odd time, but nowhere even close. The longer into marriage, the less intentional they're getting with their wives. So part of the pillars, stillness is what we speak to in Heroic Husbands. The Heroic Husband practices finding inner stillness and readiness to face every feminine storm of woman, of woman, queen, and life. I will lead in this conversation that, and I will pick this apart, on one level I ultimately didn't screw it up. What I knew was potentially going to be a deeply challenging conversation to approach with my queen. My practice is being intentional, being, hey, I'm intending, I know it's potentially going to be very difficult, but my intention is I'm going to go in, I'm going to connect with her. This conversation needs to happen. For years, I was backing off. For years, it's like, oh, for the sake of peace and for the sake of just, that's going to be like a nightmare of a conversation. It's going to trigger her, blah, 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 blah. I approach the flame of it, the fire, the storm. I'm like, hey, you know, my greatest value as a man, as a husband, as a lover, as a king, is like never being afraid of the fire, of my queen, of her unapologetic, unboxable, fiery, feminine core. It's hot, as I know, like the vast majority of you guys that I end up talking with one-on-one and discovery calls and that, it's like, you know how hot it is. It's hot in the beginning and we find it attractive, but the same heat and intensity, you know, a few years in, when it's giving you feedback, we end up getting afraid of it. We end up those boyish, shadowy parts of our persona gets afraid of it ultimately, and we get anxious and we don't like it and we stop going there with such intentionality, and it's things, you know, erode and fall apart. The experience I was having with my queen, I was wanting to give her some feedback on an aspect of parenting. As like one thing I'd say is like her podcast, I've had her on recently, she has kicked off the Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast, which is going sensationally well. The link is in my description, always at the bottom, it's down there. For those of you that are interested in looking a little bit further, maybe for your queens, if that resonates with your queen. Baseline of the story is her mother was like extreme level narcissistic, deeply emotionally abusive, an absolute bully, like a level of stories that I don't know, it's like will Matilda ever want to like fully publicly go with the whole lot of that abuse and what it meant. Extreme level. So the parenting style that my beautiful queen's nervous system learn from was catastrophic, like to an extreme level. So my queen has been slowly but surely showing up with great intentionality to be a much better mother and more conscious in that. She's had to do an extreme level of work, like I have had to do an extreme level of work, because I didn't learn, you know, that the Mr. Nice Guy persona was like total bullshit in marriage. So that's our spiritual work. In doing this, hey, there's no more than in me and in you and in my queen, there are certain times when all of this conscious work, and like my queen is so brilliant, like she will sit down with the girls and have like long conversations that are amazingly conscious. But where the little unwitting slip-ups happen for both my queen and myself is like, you know, when in a slight moment, in just like a moment of you're on the run, and unconsciousness comes through in one sentence. And it mightn't even be like, you know, it's not abusive, but it's like you don't realize in those moments the potency that such a sentence would have on your daughter or on you in the couple, etc. It's like these sentences, it's like old style pattern just comes out, slips in. And it can create quite an astounding level of hurt, especially. And I say this especially for you guys, like, you know, the more work you do, the better you get, the better you better get, is one thing that Don Miller, my business mentor, teaches the whole time. It's like the better your game is, the better you better get, because the better you get and the more conscious you show up, your wife, your beautiful queen, starts feeling you more present, well, then your lack of presence is going to be a real punch in the stomach when it happens, because the contrast of your normal, much more improving, exponentially improving behavior and how that feels to her nervous system, when you drop to a level of, hey, you were tired, you just didn't realize, you say something, unconscious patterning comes through old style, that hurts. So this is the same with our parenting. So anyway, I spoke this feedback, and at the very off, it's like what held my marriage together. And I say that within the context of, if I go back like 4 or 5 years ago, I just wasn't having these type of conversations. But if I did, I did at times when things got so bad, I just like dump it out. They were the type of conversations that were almost like marriage-ending conversations. They would get so... The conflict would go so deep. We'd be there hours till the early hours of the morning with major tension, major fighting, major... like to be shouting. And then more often I would just go totally silent. It's like, this is useless. I'm just going to stonewall. That's it. It didn't happen at the weekend, yet we had... what was like on Saturday evening, an hour and a half, 2 hours of super intense dialogue together. Maybe not technically dialogue, like my queen was not feeling seen, heard and safe. And actually that was part of it. Like I was thinking she should feel seen, heard and safe because I had said certain things as dropped in as I could, touching base with her perspective, like speaking to, you know, like her experience and speaking like, you know, what I was giving feedback on is like it was unintentional. And so there was a lot of intentional, conscious language from me. But thinking she should feel seen, heard and safe versus my queen actually feeling seen, heard and safe was ultimately my biggest screw up in the whole lot. To give like to just put the full light on me, so vicariously, it's like I say it to guys when I get talking with you one-on-one, I'm not perfect. Oh, far from it. You know, it's like I am obsessive in finding what the mechanisms are to find strategic ways, systematic ways of showing up in a much better way. But hey, it's, you know, there's days where the black belts in the dojo get their ass whipped, their game, whatever, and they learn from that. That's part of the road of mastery in this. It's like I'm never going to master this to the point at which every single conversation is perfect. No, I'm going to be living with such intensity and intentionality and with such expansiveness that, hey, it's going to challenge my queen's nervous system to keep up with that. And she's doing the same and our kids are doing the same. So that's quite a game, as your nervous system has to adapt to hold space for that level of beauty and diversity coming through at you. I speak that. You're not looking for perfection of, oh, there's all just perfect harmony. You know, this harmony is fucking wonderful. It's a sign that one or both or like the family's nervous systems are adapting to, you know, to make space for the full authentic expression of the other person. So on a level, I screwed up. On a level, I was trying my best to land what was like a high flame, you know, deeply challenging feedback on a specific tiny portion of my queen's parenting, of just like how she would land like a one-liner to my kids on the go that would just have, I could see it clearly on the outside. So it's like what I had to say was deeply valid. How I went about saying it and my lack of truly touching base with my queen, and she didn't actually feel seen, heard, and she didn't feel safe, and she explicitly told me, but it's like I screwed up unwittingly. Now what saved the entire day, and I'm bringing this back to segment intending, when I went into that conversation with my queen, and I really want you to hear me on this, I literally slowed down. I found that stillness. So I was doing a ton of work behind it, even though ultimately, you know, on a level I screwed up. But hey, the story, there was an ultimate victory. And I want you looking for these ultimate victories in your own relationship. It's like I playfully say I screwed up. Actually, it was like perfect, deep, intimate relating on another level. Because, you know, when you live with such intensity, I mean, it can get messy, but messy is okay, so long as you keep connection. And that is what held the whole thing together for me and for my queen, was I had a deep-seated intent, my explicit intention that was set within me is like, I'm here to connect. I'm here to connect. I've said that metaphor before where, you know, it's like a pilot coming into landing in stormy weather. Like there's only w he or she has their eyes explicitly, completely, with obsessive focus on the runway. Because why? The runway is where the entirety of their nervous system has to keep, you know, battling to get towards. And only by keeping their eyes on it completely, and that's why they have like massive, like super bright lights at either side of the runway, up the middle of the runway. Because why? It draws the nervous system attention, and again, intentionality is to get the plane onto that strip of earth. Everybody will be safe. I set this intention of connection. So, in during the course of this 1.5, 2 hour super intense conversation, like a ton of my queen's most deepest triggered wounding came up, and like there was a ton of resistance. And when that came up, I had a charge of sort of like, what the fuck? You know, and it was like it was a long while where that level of triggerability had come through. So, in this massive intensity, there was quite a bit of my sort of mind sort of remaining ground. I knew what I was trying to put through was valid ultimately. So I was grounding my heels in unapologetically. My queen grounded her heels in as in, I'm not fucking going with any of this, like blah blah blah. It's like she wasn't feeling safe and seen and heard, so I wasn't doing a good enough job in that. So we were both grounding our heels in, not giving way. And that's a good sign. You know, it's like no matter where you're at, if there's an authentic truth, not yielding can feel like stubbornness, but it's like it's there's a great practice in that as well. But what saved the day was, in many senses, when there was that level of like conflict, in the sense of there was two different perspectives, and we were struggling to find a way of speaking that could land in and soften us both and bring that beautiful felt oneness. 3 or not, if not 4 times, in the middle of like this sort of temporary divisiveness, this divisive feel between us, I went over to my queen, gently, like just with calm assertiveness, just took her by the hands and looked into her eyes and said, "I'm wanting to connect with you." I also put in other bits. It's like, hey, if it's not seeming like I'm trying to connect with you, if I'm going at this in a screwed up way, clearly what I'm saying just isn't landing. I just want you to know my intention is to connect with you on this. You know that, I don't know if it was 3 or 4 times, every single time I did that, her nervous system dropped in. It's not that it took the spikiness completely. She still had a perspective, but she was feeling my heart. She was feeling, well, there's an intention here that is pure, is good. There's a positive intention. Now, whether I was sort of not just dropped in enough to make her feel seen, heard, and safe, that intention supported us coming back to connection. In actual fact, we ended up having to have dinner. It was dinner time, so we didn't get to bring the conversation into full completion. Our kids came out. It was actually that intense that I had to go into the sitting room to them. They were in the room next to us and just say, "Hey, mommy and daddy are having one of those type of conversations." They sort of smiled. You know, the voices were raised a bit. It was like super intense what was happening in the room next to them. I had to go in and like, "Oh, hey, we're having one of those conversations." But hey, guys, we always come out the far side deeply connected and the wiser for it. So, you know, just humorous on it. I did just sort of roll their eyes up to heaven. Once I touched base with them, they were okay. But they know we always come back with good juice. We didn't get to full harmony that evening. We ended up, it was like we have normally once a week we have a movie night, myself and my queen together, and we just chill out, watch a nice movie, and we went off relatively harmonious. I had a bit of pillow time, sort of shadow stuff and sadness come through that it was that disconnecting. It was sort of a sadness that I didn't successfully bring it to full completion, but again, I set the intention, hey, in the morning, I'll circle back. I was too tired to pillow time talk when I'm that tired. I just have learned, bad idea. Bad idea. Do you get that, guys? You know, late at night, pillow time talk? Not a good time to try and have a conscious conversation. So I circled back the next morning. We got up nice and early. It was what we call sensual Sunday. We normally, it's lovemaking in the morning, but hey, we needed to have that conversation. So our deep intimacy practice that morning, fortunately, unfortunately, we had the wisdom. It was like, it was deep, intimate, conversational sharing and sharing of their hearts. We had a beautiful conversation. Like, tears came up because I went and I made sure I built a foundation for 30 minutes of like making sure my queen felt seen, heard and safe. And we got there. It was an amazing breakthrough conversation. All of this to say, the night before, the evening before, I set this powerful intention for connection. And that is what saved, being a bit of a drama queen here, but it's like it saved my marriage. Of course, my marriage wasn't going to fall apart. But however, it didn't fall apart because of the intentionality. The mark of 4 or 5 years previous couldn't have had that conversation because the intentionality was right and wrong. I would have been like a subconscious, I'm right, she's wrong, that's it. Because I had a set intention going into that segment, transformed everything. So what does this mean for you guys? First of all, I hope there's vicarious learning for you how to navigate conflict in a certain way. Definitely build a foundation. I unwittingly did. Don't go thinking she should feel seen, heard and safe because you've peppered in a couple of sentences like I did. That was a schoolboy error of mine. It was like definitely not black belt performance. Hey, I live and I learn. Make sure she's actually feeling seen, heard and safe, especially when you're bringing high flame sort of feedback or stuff that you want to bring her attention to. Segment intending as a practice looks like this, and it's like some of the most potent transformational work I've done in my relationship and guys I work with one-on-one or in Heroic Husbands men's circles is when the space changes, the intention changes. It's not when you change space, it's when the space changes. Now, the space changes can be classically when you change space. You go from, like, let's go into some certain moments what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, daily husband space changes. What I'm talking about in a practical level, and like, pay attention, you might come up with you might recognize certain patterns that were the space changes for you on a daily basis in your married life. You know, from the morning, space change from bedroom to kitchen. I mean, hey, you get up, might be a little bit groggy, you know, a little bit tired, you get up, you go to the bathroom, and might be quite a solitude experience. Maybe you get out earlier than your queen, whatever. And it's like, I know for myself, when I go from the bedroom to the kitchen is normally where the first proper connection with my queen happens. So when I get up in the bedroom, it's like shaking off the tiredness. I do have like a little bit of a crest in my queen's arm to gently wake her up. She doesn't like getting up in the mornings. So I have to be quite gentle and definitely dropped in. No tapping. She absolutely hates when I just tap her. You know, she, even if I caress her, sometimes I caress her for like 30 or 40 seconds and then I have to tap because she's just like so solidly asleep. Because she hasn't been conscious for the first like 30 seconds or 45 seconds of gentle, beautiful, conscious caressing, it's like she feels like she has been violently woken up by the sudden tapping on her shoulder, and like she'll give out to me. That's just a funny aside. So the morning from the bedroom to the kitchen. Like, by the time you get to the kitchen, you want to be intentional. If that's your first space that you meet with your queen, hey, you got to be intentional. It's like, okay, I'm in the kitchen now. If your queen is down there first, you got to walk into that space knowing I'm going from bedroom where maybe I was there by myself. I'm walking into the kitchen. There's a change of space. I'm walking into a new space. If there's a human there, it's important to set an intention of how you're going to interact with that human being. That's segment intending. You know, when your queen or kids enter the room, we'll focus on your queen, but it does extend to your kids because conscious parenting is you might be in the space. Maybe you're there, you know, and you could be doing something super useful. You could be doing some DIY work. You could be reading, like, lost in a book. You could be watching a movie. You could be doing, you know, some guys work from home. You could, like, have a lot of times I'm hearing guys they work in the, you know, in the living room or the kitchen sometimes because, hey, you know, it's a living space and you might have your computer or some sort of an office there and you could be doing office work. When your queen, let's focus on your queen, when your queen enters the room, the space has changed. Now, the question is, does your intention change? And it's not that you have to go immediately from looking at a match or your work or reading your book to completely drop it. That would be nice guy bullshit. Oh, I'll completely drop. She's come back. I have to. No, sometimes, but it's like, have you noticed that the space has changed? It's about presence. Are you aware that your wife has come in from town? She's put the keys up. Has that triggered an awareness of, oh, my queen has arrived? I've spoken about the queen arrival awareness, but the space has changed once another human being has walked in. Now, the intention changes. Conscious relating is the segment intention is, oh, the space has changed. So in this segment, and it might just be for 30 seconds, but you can look over at your queen and, like, give her a wave, blow her a kiss. You might, you know, if you're not on a work call or, you know, something, you might go over, give her a king's kiss, kiss her intentionally. Hey, baby, good to have you back. And you set the intention to connect with her. You set the intention to bring your fullest love to her or to your kids. And hey, then part of the intention might be, okay, and then you set a clear intention to set a heart-centered boundary. Baby, the match is on. I want to watch this fully. And, you know, when it finishes in 30 minutes, I'll be completely with you. Good to see you're back. It's intentional. Where there's a lack of intention is you're just watching the game and you're lost in it. You're reading a book, you're lost in it. No part of your nervous system has noticed that the space has changed, that the rattle of the keys as she hangs the car keys up, the sound that she's coming in the door, the footsteps. You know, your kids come into the fridge, they open the fridge door, they start preparing a drink or a snack for themselves. You haven't noticed anything. That's a lack of presence. That's a lack. If you're lacking presence, or if you're lacking awareness that the space has changed, you can't set an intention. Again, you know, some guys will be like, oh, but I'm just busy. And, oh, I'm just, you know, it's like, it's impossible. Like, oh, I can't, you mean I can't just, like, focus on my work? Hey, pardon the masculine core. We love getting lost in total focus on one object. That's cool at work. That's cool in the jiu-jitsu gym. That's cool. That's an important part of your being. But it's integrating another aspect where your part of your awareness is you're aware when the space changes. Again, remind yourselves how aware you were off your queen coming in when you moved in together first, you know? Oh, baby, you're back, and you brought your full enthusiasm back then. You noticed every time she came in back then, you know? You noticed when you were coming in from work, that's another, like, for a lot of guys, that's another space change. You're coming back in the car, you know, from work. You get out of the car, you know, whatever, your commute, off the train, get back home, you're coming into the space. You're from work space to home space. That's another major recurring space change. Are you aware when you come back in that you're going into a new space? And, like, do you set an intention for that space change? So there's tons of, like, many senses, if you just go from one room to the next in a house, like a room for when you were doing, like, you're doing stuff in the garage, by yourself and you come back in the kitchen or the living room and there's your queen there, your kids there. You know, is there a part of you that sets us, that notices that, ah, okay, I'm going from what my intention was, you know, my mind going through, oh, the match and that play and, oh, geez, I can't believe that the coach didn't bring that fella on, blah, 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 and the post-match commentary and, you know, the bullshit that one person was saying, and that's happening in your head, but the match is over. Most guys don't wake up that the match is over and now they've walked into the kitchen and their wife, their beautiful queen, is there, and they're stuck in their mind, you know, ruminating on the match and this, or like a little bit of work tomorrow, and they're not present and their only intention is just going to get a snack because fuck me, I'm hungry, and they're halfway through, you know, making the snack, and then their wife coughs and it's like, you know, it's like she's feeling hurt because you walked into the space has changed. You have changed physical space, or she has walked in from town and you have not noticed. And in the not noticing, you have not, and maybe you do notice, and that's even more hurtful. Like, you do notice she's there, but there's a part of you sets no intention. So the segment intending practice, which is a revelation, it'll be a fucking grade A revelation for your queen. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. If you put into practice this, guys, this is like one of those, well, I like to think that all episodes are worthy of repeating, but like this is one of these super, super, super high leverage practices where it will totally transform how your queen relates with you. Do you know that feeling? I say that again and again. Your queen has a deep feminine need to feel seen, heard, and safe. She definitely doesn't feel seen and definitely can't be heard if when you walk from one space to the next, you're not really cognizant that if she's there or not, would it make a big difference? And like, oh, hey, honey, as you go to the fridge, you know, was that packed with intentionality, or is that just nice guy, same shit, different day? You sort of semi-notice, you notice, yeah, cool. There's a physical carcass in the room and there's some bit of consciousness in it, so I better just say, hey, hon. You know, she feels that shit. What I'm talking about segment intending is when you change space, it's like when I, just to speak about my practice, and I don't always get this right, and I notice that, like, actually doing this episode, it's bringing my awareness back on this practice and the essential nature of it. But when I work it, when I actually do this practice, my work life, like I'm recording this upstairs now, looking at the clock time, in approximately about 10 minutes time, I'm going to be walking down the stairs. I will end this segment here, consciously going, podcast recording, I do a segment ending, actually it's a separate practice. But when I walk down the stairs, quite often what happens at the top of the stairs or some point going down the stairs, I stop and inside of myself, I do segment intending, which is, there's a change of my space. I'm now, in about 10 minutes time, I'm going to be walking down those stairs and I will set an intention as to what energy I want to bring to my queen. You know, it's like, oh, I bring full enthusiasm and I set intention. Connection is, you know, is an intention that comes through, or I just really want to touch base about, you know, how her day has been, if she's been out in town. That's not the case now, but it's like, set the intention. I want to hear about like how her podcast episode went, or, you know, whatever, she was doing work this morning. Like, oh, how did your work on your website go? I'll set an intention. And that transforms the space. When I do that, within moments, within seconds, definitely minutes, there's a deep sense of aliveness. We're connecting. The conversation is flowing. She's lit up. Her eyes are locked on me. My eyes are locked on her. I'm listening deeply. I'm wanting connection. Part of that connection is I just give her a beautiful king's kiss. Sometimes I set the intention of I'm going to like just fully appreciate her. And I'll come in and I'll just like just appreciate her being, her essence in that moment. So when I do that, it's amazing, the effect. without fail. When I don't, and hey, you know, it's like the practice of presence. It's, you know, I speak to challenge you, and I challenge myself in this work. It's like, if you want to master something, teach it. Like, in teaching this and speaking to it and obsessing about it, guys, I'll hold my hand up. There's plenty of times when, hey, you know, like, I get caught in the thought about, you know, whatever. Like, I'm doing a business course, I'm super passionate, I'm caught in, oh, that super cool idea. I'm walking down the stairs, I'm not realizing I'm entering a different space, I don't set an intention, and I'm just caught in my mind going, oh, that's super cool, like, I really need to do that, I can't wait to make that change on my website that is going to support conversions, going to support guys signing up, which is going to bring better impact, blah, 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 blah. Those moments when I don't set an intention, I don't consciously recognize, oh, Mark, you're moving from one space to the next, slow down and set an intention that is appropriate to the space you're going into. You know, your queen is present, your kids are present, what's your intention? When I don't do that, guys, you can be quite sure that I'll be getting feedback 5 or 10 minutes later in conversation, when my queen will be from, you know, the lower end intensity of, hey baby, or like, what's in your mind, to, you know, the more intensely direct, like, where the hell are you? Can you get to this table? Like, where you're stuck in your mind. You're just quiet the last 10 minutes. Like, what's going on? Getting radical, direct, fierce, unapologetic, queenly feedback for what? My lack of presence. So, again, I'm like, my challenge to you coming into landing here is become aware. It's all about awareness. The greatest power in transforming your marriage and by your whole life in extension, your parenting and everything, is the marriage transforming heroic force that will support you do that with relative ease is presence, is being awake to what the space is asking of you. When you do that, you know, like, your wife, your beautiful queen, she feels seen and heard and honored and safe in your presence. Like, those moments when I nail the segment intention, man, it's off the charts. We're on fire together. When I don't, we're not on fire together. It's black and white, guys. The practices, I don't know, it's like, if I could say there's 3 steps. Number one, you've got to recognize a change of space. Be present. Be aware. Your kids want to know. Your queen wants to know. People that fucking love you and is like you have brought into the tapestry of your life, they want to know that you notice them. That you're not so engrossed and lost in the match that they're just like, you know, them making noise, that they don't have to feel that they have to do a fucking somersault in front of you to get you to pay attention to them. A lot of kids, by the way, they act up. They act really badly and behave badly. And I think, like, a lot of times, you know, our queens, they bring drama to get our bloody attention. That is, like, so mediocre from our performance. Guys, I've done it for years. And, hey, I'm saying in the middle of this, I unwittingly get into those mediocre old patterns myself as well. So, but it's mediocrity. It's fucking, like, same shit, different day bullshit. That is not becoming of a king that you are. That is not the game you, nor I, nor any man in this movement wants to be playing, which is loss of consciousness, like, hurting our queens, our kids, our loved ones around, because we don't fucking even notice that we're walking from one space to the next. That, hey, my workspace, shutting that door and going, okay, lock the door, shut down, complete. Now I'm walking in home. My intention is not with ruminating bullshit about work tomorrow or what happened that day and blah, 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 and the politics, because you were listening to bullshit on the news and worries and you're just caught in your head, blah, 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 blah. No, when you walk in the door, you set an intention. You recognize, point number one, recognize there's a change of space. I'm going into a new segment. So, number two, breathe deeply. Number three, set a powerful intention for, hey, how can I serve this space the best? If it's your queen is there, set it appropriate to that moment. I'm going to set the intention. I'm going to fully connect with her. I'm going to fully appreciate her. I'm going to set the intention to listen to her deeply about her day. I'm going to set the intention to whatever it is. Set the intention to have a beautiful, open-hearted conversation on that important topic that I've unwittingly been avoiding. I'm going to have that conversation with the underlying intention of connection. Set the intention. I'm going to go in and just love her up. I'm going to set the intention. I'm just going to connect with her. I'm going to give her a king's kiss. I'm just going to kiss her like I haven't kissed her in ages. I'm going to fucking let her feel that fiery, beautiful love. Number one, recognize the change of space. You can only do that when you have a commitment to showing up more present. Number two, breathe deeply. Number three, set the intention. And number four, enjoy the fucking sensational, beautiful, visceral, felt, emotional, good feeling experience that your woman, your beautiful queen, has. And she has it as a direct result of you slowing the fuck down, getting the hell out of your mind that was appropriate to the moment before, to your previous task, but you become a one in a million man that actually notices there's a change of space, he sets an intention, and she gets to feel all that good feeling, amazing stuff with the man she loves. Beautiful, amazing, heroic husbands around the world. There's so many of you listening in. I've hats off to the courage of the guys that are reaching out or jumping on the discovery calls. As always, the link is there. One token of my appreciation that I really want to send out there is there's so many different things in the business organism and different numbers that I have in the dashboard of this movement. One that I haven't placed a lot of attention to that I did recently was the number of reviews. Mainly at Spotify and Apple, the iTunes, where the podcasts are in iTunes. They're the main sources of numbers that are of people listening in. And I just checked the other day. So a great, massive, like deep bows and appreciation. I'm so honored. There's been like a sudden raise in the numbers of reviews that are there. I think there was 11 on one platform and 6 or 7 on the other. And hey, like it's humble numbers. My direct request to those of you, for like full appreciation to those of you that have done already, thank you, thank you, thank you. My direct request coming into landing is those of you that have not yet maybe thought of it or got around to doing it, I would deeply appreciate if you could take like the 1 or 2 minutes it takes to, if you're on Spotify or Apple iTunes, listen to your podcast. If you could take 1 or 2 minutes to leave, I'm really hoping I'm earning like a 5-star review, a review. And if on, I think it's iTunes, if you can leave just a little comment about just what listening in means to you. I know tons of you are giving me feedback saying, hey, you're listening in the whole time, a ton of you. I'm actually really so humbled when I hear it's like, Mark, you're the one podcast I'm listening to. There's like all the other relationship ones, it's just you, because your masculine core is feeling the power of this unique extreme ownership, deep masculine spiritual approach to transforming your marriage. You're really feeling it. So if you could channel that love and intentionality, there's the word intentionality again. If you could find 1 or 2 minutes to leave a review on Spotify or Apple iTunes, I would be indebted to you. That supports other powerful men like you making a powerful decision to see the reviews and go, hey, I'm going to give this podcast a go. And this podcast transforms marriages. So guys, it's an act of great service. Well, to me, on a personal level, I deeply appreciate it. But it's an act of great service to the tribe of men that are out there that are feeling alienated and are experiencing deep, deep struggle and deep hopelessness, a lot of them in marriage. It's an act of great service to support them, make a powerful decision, and help them become the marriage-transforming heroes of their relationships. Deep, deep request there. Would really love to see those numbers up. Guys, thank you so much. Deep appreciation for every single one of you listening in so diligently, so courageously. And the stories I'm hearing of marriage transformation from all around the globe and How you're living out these, you know, these teachings, and remembering how fucking awesomely powerful you are as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a king in this world. Oh man, what a beautiful thing to be co-creating together on a bi-weekly basis. Ending with a mantra offer movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Every single one of you, go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. And before you go, kingly brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.